Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, and with me, Cam Ruslan. This week we have the return of, I was just trying to go through the list of things that he does. He's a journalist, he's a writer, a YouTuber, and a father, and he is Zan Asli.
Oh, yes, I am Zan Asli.
Yes, great to have you back. And we have, apparently, been on once before, like a million years ago, but it doesn't count. We have, I say first time, comedian and writer, Charmaine Othman.
Yes. My first job out of uni, I was a broadcast journalist, though. Yeah, I really liked it because, like, they would call us BJs at the office.
Oh, yeah. I used to be BJ, too, a long time ago.
BJ. Yeah.
I did not know that. So, our three topics this week is, topic number one is, what do Malaysians find funny? Topic number two is, fair, the Cambodian circus. And topic number three is, pets. How do you feel about your pets? So with topic number one, I'm going to ask, first of all, Zan, are you still watching a new local movie every week?
Yes, I'm still watching a local movie every week.
Good. And Charmaine, you're a stand-up comic and you write comedy and you are the daughter of Othman Hafsham,
yes,
who created all the comedies on TV.
In the 90s.
Late
70s. Yeah, P-Mine was late 70s.
So
yeah.
Like forever.
Forever,
so
yeah.
So you grew up with that. And with that in mind, I want to ask you, have we been able to work out some of the things that Malaysians find funny? Perhaps I'm also asking, Malays in particular find funny. So when you're standing up on stage, Charmaine, and you're doing your stand-up comedy, what works and what fails?
So far, everything works.
That's because you're just so damn funny.
No, I mean, because the stand-up scene in KL at the moment, I would say it's still very much underground. So the audiences, you know, they're just made up of, like, you know, professionals from, you know, very urban background, you know, people who've studied abroad. So most of the time, like, they know how to laugh at themselves. I think it's a rule among Malaysian stand-up comics. If you're going to make fun of one race, you have to make fun of every other race. So that's like the rule, you know. Yeah.
So comedy of race is funny?
Yes. I think Malaysians, like, in the underground comedy scene, in the comedy scene, they love, like, racial jokes, political jokes, because comedians tell the truth.
Okay.
And the truth is always funny.
But you're talking about your English language stuff.
English language,
but
yeah.
But you also do a lot of work with Project Disco Bali.
Project Disco Bali. We haven't done a show in about 2-3 years.
Okay, but that's a group of you.
Yep.
And you perform to a much younger crowd.
Much younger.
And
crowd,
almost
yeah.
entirely in Malay.
Yeah.
And so therefore the crowd is quite a young Malay crowd.
Yes.
You must presumably do different comedy for different crowds.
Yes, different styles. Like with Project Disco Baldi and with the stand-up scene, because it's still like very niche, so we do have a lot of freedom to like do more risque stuff. You know, looking back at the sketches that Project Disco Baldi have done, we couldn't do most of it on TV. So I guess there's the difference.
So it's what, risque at sex sort of jokes?
Yeah, very, very sex, religion,
pop culture.
Politics, yeah, pop culture.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then Zan, you've been watching a lot of local movies. Have any of them been funny? Are they funny?
Well, it's very interesting because one of the latest movies that I watched was a movie called Minamoto, directed by Ahmad Idham. It's comedy. It's semi-comedy. It's about a group of girls who like to ride motorcycles and they want to race illegally, right? Like rumpets, but they don't call themselves rumpets. And initially, you would think that the movie is about girl empowerment, women empowerment, and things like that. But certain scenes in the movie, and they try to make it comedic, it's very disturbing to me. But I was in a cinema theater which was quite full. About 75%
full.
Yeah, about 75% full, and they were all, I would say, by my observation, were mainly young Malays. And there was a scene where a girl and a guy was caught in a workshop. The girl thought the guy was a robber who wanted to break in and steal stuff from the workshop, and she tried to stop him. But then her father and a group of religious men from the Surau came and saw them, and they said, "Oh, Carl White, get married now." And then they started making like a slapstick comedy of how they should get married. And then the boy's father came as well, and they started trying to fight. "Oh, yes, they can get married, but he doesn't have a job. It's okay. I'm rich. I'll take care of them," the boy's father says. And then the girl's father says, no, I can take care of them too, you know. And to me, it felt very disturbing.
Sorry, a slapstick comedy out of what? Like a shotgun marriage?
Yes. A shotgun marriage of Carl White and of actually these two people were not actually Carl White. They were anything, you know. And there was another scene also where it was about rape. It's about this Mat Rempit who drugged a girl and tried to, you know, do stuff with her in a room. And then just as he was about to do it, it was a POV camera point of view of him coming. And just as he was about to touch the girl, he starts doing like, "Hey, funny faces, la, la, la," and then the scene ends, and you're supposed to laugh at that.
Oh wow!
So I don't know. It was very disturbing.
Was it written by Ahmad Idham?
I'm not sure who the writer was.
Sounds like it was written by a guy.
And the thing is, the crowd in the theater were laughing. You know?
Okay. Well, I would say one of the things that I've discovered, because I did a lot of work with Instant Cafe Theatre, which, you know, a theatre-based comedy satire group, English language. And one of the things that seemed to always work was what we ended up calling the comedy of recognition. If you, sometimes you would just say something which is local.
Yeah.
And like one of my favourites would be just to mention Rothman Roundabout. And well, there you go. Yeah. And people would laugh.
Yeah.
And it's like apropos nothing. You know, like or Motorola turnoff.
Yeah.
And you know, people laugh. But it meant that you could get a cheap laugh.
Yes.
It's kind of cheating. But it could be a very good punchline to something to tell people, "Oh, you have to go all the way to Rawang and then come back."
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get a laugh. And I felt that it was because people are so starved of seeing themselves, certainly on TV, and hearing their own geography, their own places mentioned, that as soon as there's such a hunger, you know, you stand on stage, Charmaine. Yeah. I mean, do you feel there is that kind
of... Yes. In fact, I did the Singapore Comedy Fringe and LOL Fest. And these two festivals, what I heard from the promoters were that the local comedians' shows did better than the international comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you're right. You know, like, Malaysians are just hungry. They want to hear their stories. They want to hear their jokes. They want to laugh at themselves. Yeah.
So, Zan, finally, before we move on, of the movies that you've seen, do any of them stand out as being genuinely funny?
Yeah, it's mainly all horrible. But I do enjoy Mamat Khalid's movies.
Mm.
Right? He tends to... Okay. Do a little bit of satire, and those are funny. Yeah.
Okay, so comedy exists in this country.
We can laugh.
Yeah. Charmaine,
yes.
You have been away, and you've just
come back.
You were in Cambodia.
I was in Cambodia.
You were in Siem Reap.
Yes.
And you saw a circus.
I saw Fair, the Cambodian circus, and...
Spelled
P-H-A-R-E. And I didn't know what to expect. Someone just said, "You should go watch the Cambodian circus." So I booked my ticket. I couldn't get a ticket for the Saturday night because it was fully booked. So I got a ticket Sunday night. Got there and it's like, you know, like a proper circus tent. And then you get in and there are these ushers with like intercoms. And I'm like, you know, this is legit. This is not some like kampung tent. You know, I was expecting that. And then you get in, it's like this, you know, proper circus tent with like, you know, tiered seats. And then the show starts with two musicians coming on. And it's like an hour long and it's all acrobatic. And it tells the story about... The show was called Soka. So it was about this girl, Soka, who, you know, after the Civil War, she was a refugee. I think she went to like France and then she sort of came back to Cambodia and started training kids from orphanages, you know, from poor backgrounds to learn circus. And yeah, so that show told that story. And there was even a painter who would come on and he would do a painting like on set, on the stage, and you watch him paint and you can buy the painting at the end of it. So yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you felt that, I mean, is there anything for us Malaysians to learn from this
extravaganza?
It
was I thought it was very smart how they chose to tell these very Cambodian stories using circus. It was a very interesting way to tell your story to, like, visitors. And I think there's room for us to, like, do something like that. In fact, I want to. Like, I took a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And I just want to meet with, like, you know, arts practitioners and just talk to them. You can do something like that. And, like, Five Arts does a lot of, like, outreach programs, right? So whether, like, to link it with them, because it's such a creative way to tell the story of your country. And the set was, like, really, you know, minimal. They used, like, boxes.
It was languageless as well.
It was languageless. It was all movement. If they talk to each other, it's all, like, just shouting, like, kind of thing. No, you don't. You really have to understand Khmer. But it's really interesting how the acrobats come from a school, a performing arts school in Cambodia. So it's like, we can do that here. I feel like
I'm struggling to think of a circus performance tradition here.
Yeah, we don't really have anything physical. I mean, the most physical thing would be like silat.
Yeah.
If you combine like silat and like acrobats or something, or martial arts.
I wouldn't even know if those traditions exist in Cambodian.
No, I think because after the civil war, there were a lot of NGOs based in Cambodia in the schools. So they were French, I think mostly French. Mm. So that's why I think I was telling you earlier that it felt very Cirque du Soleil. The acrobats, the stunts were telling all these stories. Yeah.
Mm. Actually, I think Cirque du Soleil is Canadian.
Canadian French,
Same thing.
But I think I was just blown away, and I don't know. Maybe it's a 10-year plan that I, you know, create something like that here.
It could be very popular. I could see it being very popular. Yeah. But there's like, it's a zero starting point though here.
See, the objective of the circus was they take the students from the school. Mm-hmm. Create jobs for them, and so they want to keep the industry sustainable. They just want to keep making sure that artists who graduate from their school can, you know, earn an honest living.
And Siem Reap, because it's right next to the Angkor Wat complex, is the biggest tourist spot in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Cambodia, but what I mean is I've been to
Siem Reap.
I've been nowhere else. Would you go watch this?
I would. What would be interesting to me is, can we make that model be appealing to the rural folks?
Train them, right?
Yeah. Or even make it appealing as an audience.
As an audience, a traveling show. Yeah. They do, I know that this Cambodian circus, they do travel to smaller towns and they have like circus festivals where they bring they bring the show to travel, and then as they travel they recruit more students to join the school. So you know, it's just really, I was just taken aback, like, you know, after what the country has gone through. I mean, it's still relatively, like, you know, you would say a new like country, but yet their passion for the arts, you know, it's really strong. And I wish there was a stronger appreciation here.
Well, with a bit of culture, we have a small audience, but it's a very select audience. And, you know, some of the wealthiest people in the nation listen. So if you are listening and you like the idea, please get in touch with Charmaine. Yes. Or indeed, just go steal the idea.
Do it yourself. I'll come to your tent with like signs. I'm like, you stole my idea.
That's right. You go. You burn it to the ground. You burn them down. So if you want to do the idea and you don't want Charmaine to come burn it down, give her a call. And in a moment, though, we will have topic number
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
3, which is your secret life with pets, here on A Bit of Culture, BFM 89.9. And we're back with myself, Cam Ruslan, Zan Azli, and Charmaine Othman. And now, topic number 3, pets, Zan.
Yes.
Do you have pets? You have children. Do you have pets?
Well, yes, I have pets and I have children. And I've always had pets since I was a kid right up until adulthood. I've had all kinds of pets, from dogs to cats to snails to ferrets and lizards and snakes and many, many different kinds of pets. And I love animals. But I've never really had a true connection with any of my pets. And you know, I don't see them like, I don't appreciate them like a family. I do appreciate them and I do care for my pets. But I've seen other people who are pet lovers who actually connect with their pets as if it's as another human being.
Well, yeah.
I understand that, but
yeah, what kind of monster are you?
Yes, people have said that about me because of my connections with my pets. But it's not that I don't care for my pets. I love my pets. But if a pet dies, I will feel sad, but then, okay, let's move on. Quite almost instant. Recently, my snake died. Mm-hmm. I was a bit upset, but it only lasted maybe a couple of hours.
Yeah, it was a snake, come on.
Yeah, I mean... and recently, a friend of mine had a cat really sick,
yeah.
And I followed her to bring it to the vet. And when I was at the vet, I saw other pet owners, mm-hmm. and they had pets who were sick. Mm-hmm. And I saw that they had grief in their faces,
wow.
and they were very sad. Yeah. And I started talking to a few of them, and they said, one was a dog owner, and his dog was really sick. And he told me about how upset he is, and he hopes the dog will get better because he raised the dog from a puppy and all that. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. I raised a dog from a puppy too. But when I had to give away my dog, I was like, bye, you know? And this kind of reminded me of a recent issue in the news of this Malay girl, Tudong Klat, who was on video. I think she entered a competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she adopted a stray dog.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling the audience about how she likes the dog and why she adopted the dog and all that. And there was backlash. I think the JAKIM director general said that this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
She must repent.
Yeah, she must repent.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking, because I know a lot of pet owners as well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who love pets and animals in general, they seem to be colorblind, and they don't, you know, they will love a cat and they will love a dog too, even if you're a Muslim or not, you know. Any kind of animal, it's an animal, it's God's creature.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, so I think the world would be a better place if we had more pet lovers and animal lovers. What do you all think?
I was working on a project last year, and the production house was based in the producer's home, and he had a dog. And because when you work in, like, you know, film production, a lot of, like, producers or crew, they're all Malays. So he had a dog, but in his washroom there was the sabun sama. Which was like, it was really nice that there was this understanding. Like, you know, any Malays who came to his house, we weren't afraid of his dog. We just respected him having a dog, and he respected, you know, Muslims by having the soap. And I think that's just a great understanding. I think that should be like the way forward. It's like, chill.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
So Zat, you've been discovering normal human emotions through watching people watch their pets die.
Yes, well, yeah.
That's nice.
Let me tell you, from this experience, I have a cat at home. His name is Awang, Awang Krepe. And, and my kids love the cat. My two girls adore Awang because he will only let these two girls touch him.
Mm-hmm.
When I come, he runs. Right? But I love Awang because I had Awang even before my eldest kid.
Yeah.
Right? And I've always been annoyed with him because he likes to throw up his fur balls in the house. And I would chase him out of the house. But recently, after, you know, my experience, I find that I've had this connection with him now. He comes to me, he sits on my lap, he tries to snuggle with me, you know. And I let him sleep in the house at night now. So, hey.
Wow.
You're changing.
But Charmaine, you don't have pets.
I don't have pets. Never had.
You've never had pets?
No, because my mom was asthmatic, which was really sad because my dad grew up with like 13 cats. So never had pets. I'm afraid of cats.
Oh my God, really?
I'm afraid of cats.
Like a phobia?
Okay, not a phobia. It's more of like, I'm just, I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I can tell you, they're thinking bad things.
I know.
You.
They are.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm a bit worried about your psychopathology, Zan. But can I just ask, you know, when we're watching movies, right, and it's like people are being killed everywhere, and then the animal gets killed, right? And do you feel a greater, overwhelming sense of emotion for the death of the animal in the movie as opposed to the death of the human characters? Zan, are you?
Yes. Yeah, I remember watching the first episode of The Walking Dead. At the end of the episode, the horse dies.
Yeah.
And the zombies eat the intestines and all that. I was like, oh my God. It's a horse. He's handsome.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you, Charmaine? I mean, you don't have pets.
Don't have pets.
But do you feel that kind of...
Yeah, like, I do. Yeah. Like, yeah, I guess I watched Marley and Me and I bawled my eyes out. Even in the car, I was crying. I was like, oh, why did he have to die? But, you know, like, you go on Facebook and people share all these videos about, you know, animals being tortured. And I do get sad. I mean, I'm scared of animals, but I... Sayang them lah. Yeah.
But I sometimes wonder if... I actually do wonder about... When I do watch these movies and something terrible happens to the animal, I wonder, does this actually say something bad about my psychopathology?
Right.
You know? Because if I am sympathized, if I'm being overwhelmed by emotion for the death of a fictional animal, more than I am for a fictional person, you know, is there something wrong with me?
Maybe you don't like people?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering. Yeah. I mean, in the same way that Zan doesn't like human emotions. So, you know, while your girls, you know, might be crying by the graveside of the pet and you're like burying him and they're saying, no, daddy, the animal's not dead yet.
Well, I made a joke once, you know, when I said, wait, one day when I drive home and I drive into the porch, maybe Awang would be there.
Oh, no.
I was just making a joke. And my eldest daughter heard it. She ran out and said, no, I don't want Awang to die. I'm like, no, I was just joking.
Right. But do you think you feel this way because, like, you've always had pets, right? That you got used to, like, them dying, like...
Maybe. Yeah. Like I said, it's not that I don't care for them.
But actually, that's one of the most important... I mean, you know, I've had dogs. I've had a cat that died recently. And that completely... That just tore me apart.
Oh, no.
But one of the lessons that... Important lessons that they do teach you in their own tragic way is that they do die. And they die with kind of regularity. I mean, a cat can live to, what, about 15, a dog about 15 as well. You know, you have to get used to it.
Yeah.
Something for your kids to look forward to. Good luck dealing with that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that, we're going to move on now to the final part of the show, recommendations. We recommend something that we think might be of interest. I'm going to go first. And we've already talked about our recommendations. Mine's completely different from either of yours. I'm reading a book at the moment. I'm really enjoying it. Once in a Blue Moon, I recommend something which is like a military history thing. I read a lot of that. So, and I'm very fascinated by the U.S. Civil War of 1861 to 64-5. And there's what the book that I'm reading now is very good. And it's by a guy called Bruce Catton, or Bruce Catton, not quite sure how you pronounce it, C-A-T-T-O-N. It's This Hallowed Ground, And it's just an amazing piece of writing. What I like about reading the U.S. Civil War things is that it's an opportunity for American writers who can and are often very good to write about something that really means something to them. And you just get this one, you can get really great writing. Whereas if they write about a lot of other things, you just sort of think, well, really, what the hell do you know? But, when, you know, they're writing about their own thing and they do know. And so Bruce Catton, he's just a really great writer. And also it was written in the 1950s. So it has this grand voice, this grand style that's like really out of fashion now. So it's like old fashioned and it's also a mythological story of something of such great importance to Americans. So it's a great book.
How do you feel like reading that book now, like with what's going on in America? Like, has it changed any perceptions or not?
Very much so. I mean, when I've been, because there's another book I wrote recently, The Fall of the House of Dixie, which is, so This Hallowed Ground is very much the North side, the Union side, and Fall of Dixie is about from the Confederate side.
Yeah.
And you see that race is such a centrally important aspect of American life, and it's such a stain as well, slavery. And it has not been worked through.
It's still like so rampant, like racism in America right now.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, toward the black man. It's scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah. So it really does inform, I think, the way I see America. So that's my recommendation. Charmaine?
In the spirit of pride, I'm recommending this amazing series, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Cool.
It's on Netflix, if you have Netflix. So they've got 9 seasons so far and 2 all-star seasons. And it's really inspiring to see all these men who, some of them have come from like really, you know, their families have disowned them. But they get this self, you know, empowerment through drag. And I mean, like, as a, you know, woman watching this, some of them look so hot and so beautiful. And it's like, it's an art actually, drag. And like the costumes and the makeup and the hair, there's an artistry to it. So it's a lot of fun, yeah.
So it's just a lot of voguing and catwalking.
Not just that. Like, okay, so it's like a combination of Project Runway, Idol, and Next Top Model combined together. Like, yeah. And what I really like is that it's really funny. Like, you know, back to the topic of what's funny. I mean, we all, you know, have that sassy gay friend, right? So if like your sassy gay friend was an editor, he would be like editing RuPaul's Drag Race, because there's so much comedy even in the editing. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I have never seen it, actually.
What I did was I started with like a recent season. So it was season 7. And then I started from the beginning and worked my way up through all the seasons. Yeah. And there's so much like self-love and acceptance. And, you know, every season they do these challenges where they pair up the drag queen with, you know, a member of another, what's the word? Disenfranchised.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Segment of society, like little right. people or men in the military who nice. Came out gay or HIV positive patients. So, yeah. I mean, you know, people think drag race, they think, oh, it's flashy, it's fun, but it's actually got a lot to do with the human spirit.
Yes. Great, right. But that's for our male listeners. And got anything for the ladies? So, okay, that's RuPaul's...
Drag Race.
Yeah.
It's got nine seasons and 2 all-star seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Zan, what you got?
Yes. What I've recently discovered is that it's film related, movie related. A lot of local Malaysian movies that have come out like years ago are available online. I don't know, legal or illegal. It's on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and watch full films, right? These are old films that are probably 4 or 5 years ago and before that, right? And you can watch it in full, and it's great because, you know, if you've missed those films, you can watch it again. And the funny thing is that the production companies and the distributors and all that, the production companies do not flag off YouTube to take these films down. They will flag off recent movies because when I do my movie review show on YouTube, if I put too much of the trailer of a new movie, I can get flagged off. Right?
Oh, okay.
From YouTube, from the production company, because these are new movies.
Yeah.
So it was surprising for me to see that all these old movies are existing on YouTube. So it must be a way for them to have these films available for people. And the views are high. They go into like the hundreds of thousands and even millions. So people are watching these old Malaysian films. Yeah, so great. Go and search. Yeah,
I had a great time recently actually doing that. But I was watching just pre-independence. Local movies.
Uh-huh. And Majnun.
Yeah, and looking at trying to work out some of the themes that were going on, a lot of kind of 1001 Nights and stuff. And, it was really fascinating to watch. Okay, so go check out YouTube for probably legal. It's a rare recommendation on A Bit of Culture. And so that brings us to the end of this week. Only it remains for me now to thank special honoured guest, Charmaine Othman.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. Zan Azli.
Yeah.
And myself, Cam Ruston. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do. And Charmaine she's like across the media.
I am.
The first person we've had. You're like Snapchat. Is that
Snapchat,
a thing?
Snapchat. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Yeah, you can find it all on charmaineothman.com.
All right, okay. Actually, I mean, I've known Charmaine for a very long time, and we haven't actually seen each other for a long time either. And yet I feel like...
everything.
I know everything about what Charmaine is. I know where she is. I know what she's doing. And Zan, you're how do we get in touch?
Every social media platform as well. Handle is at fatbidin.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. And please like our Facebook page. I noticed recently, I've been away for a few weeks, and Uma, the Indian Fleur, he's been taking over. And I noticed the likes and everything were like shooting up and everything. Ooh. And yeah, I'm not happy. I am not happy.
You got to work on your social media presence, Cam.
Is it that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, so anyway, every like you give us, Zan will adopt a pet.
Okay, yes.
Yeah? Okay. So, yes, so thank you for joining us, and please join us next week for another exciting episode of Bit of Culture here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.